As we look back over the previous year, we have much to be thankful for as a people. God has kept us, and that's our theme today even. God who faithfully keeps his church. And it's not just a theoretical theme. It's real. And each of us here today can testify to that truth. One of the ways that we can be grateful before him and even thank him and praise him is to think about just all that he's accomplished. We've had babies born to our congregation. That's a blessing. We've had people born again amongst us. We've celebrated baptisms. Those are a miracle every time that happens. That is the grace of God at work in a dead world. And that's a thrill. We've seen the team ministry go out faithfully and share Christ with visitors. We've seen the boys camp and Union Rescue Mission, that ministry continue on. And we've seen even how Compass has been able to reach out to singles, and many have found encouragement there and grace there and further instruction there. Our children's ministries have come to the place of even furthering their impact. Many things have developed this year in terms of the way they've developed even better ways to care for our kids and trying to hone that ministry and make it more effective. The youth ministry has expanded greatly. I cannot believe how many acronyms James Lemons can come up with. We've got all sorts of stuff, but the purpose of the acronyms really is because there's these little developments and things that he wants to accomplish, and David Dobbs as well, as they've been spearheading that, and that has been a great thing to see. They're going to be having a retreat this upcoming year. I mean, that's a wonderful step of faith in investing in the young people. We've seen the SWAT ministries have a great impact. Those men's groups, those small groups, they're morphing. They used to be these small groups that would just stay, you know, one size. Now some of them have kind of become things where they're allowing other people to come, and there are visitors that don't even attend our church but are faithfully attending these small group meetings because they need the fellowship and they need the encouragement. And it's been a great way to see outreach even happen through those. The Women of Hope Ministries, what can we say? We have two things going on. We have one of the finest women's ministries around. We also have some of the finest ladies that a congregation could ever ask for. And we're blessed because of them, especially today, especially when the whole idea of womanhood is being skewed. The culture is driven to make women and men the exact same thing. And yet our women's ministries and the leadership from Melissa to Pam, to many, many others. I can't even mention all of them. There is a huge statement being made by being soft and being what women have been beautifully ordained by God to be. And we're just grateful for them and how they continue to labor in that way. Koinonia, we have times now where we get together as a church family. And we are grateful to the Longs for that, and we are looking forward even to today of that time together. But that's been a new development, another encouraging step, and another evidence of God's grace. The ambassadors, they're going soon, and they represent us. We all get to go, in a sense, to Moldova. Every time Pastor John and the church in Roskayets come up, I keep thinking back to the first time Pastor Rich came back from a trip when he met Pastor John. And the one thing he said to me was, if I can be a fraction of the pastor that Pastor John is, I will be a blessed man and our congregation will be a blessed people. And I have to say that after I've met him and been with him, I feel the exact same way. The man is a man of humility, of wisdom, of care, and it's astounding that we on this side of the world would be able to have an impact there with those people. It's a joy. It's a privilege. And so we are so grateful for God's kindness and God's work amongst us. The music ministry also is going through changes as we speak. There's a young man who's joined our ranks, Michael Knopf, and he has added just a tremendous dimension to what Greg and James have faithfully done for so long. And even John Massey has joined us on bass, and we've seen that kind of develop. And what's so exciting is that that guy, man, he's out there playing all the time. We don't pay anything for this. This is a ministry. And he is so eager. He's excited about doing that. And I'm sure James is excited to have the rotation. Yay! Yes, there will be some days he can come a little later than normal. But no, we are very grateful for how God has worked in that, as well as just the singers and having them every once in a while. When we look to the year ahead, there are things that we really want to focus on. And the elders, we've discussed this a bit. We've had, of course, a huge transition in the pastor-teacher role of our church. And honestly, how much of what we are going to be looking forward to in the future is directly traceable and attributable to our former pastor-teacher, Pastor Rich. This is not the kind of thing where we're coming in and saying, okay, that was what we're doing, but now we're going to do this. Not at all. We're taking what God has established before, and we want to build on that for the future. And in light of that, I would like to draw your attention to the green sheet of paper that you just received. And I'd like you to look at the front of it, which would be the side that doesn't have the tree on it. It's the opposite side. And briefly, I'd just like to lay out for us as a family the vision I have for us as a church and what I would like to see us accomplish. And again, we've briefly discussed some of these things on the board level as well. It's our desire to be a place where we are about one singular thing. And so the vision statement you see at the top there would be that which we, our purpose, what we want to accomplish. And it is to lead all people everywhere into a growing life of hope in Jesus Christ. We want to park on our name. We are Hope Bible Church. We are not Hope Bible Church, nor are we Hope Bible Church. We're Hope Bible Church. How desperately does this world need hope? And how quick are the people around us, many whom we care so much for, chasing after hope in places where there's none to be found? We are a people of hope. Why? Because the gospel declares to us that we can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. When we say in our statement that we want to lead all people everywhere into this hope, that reflects the international component of our ministry. It's exciting. Think about this. Everyone on our board, on the elders, has international ministry experience. Every one of them. That's a beautiful thing. Not many churches can say that. We've always had this international dynamic to the ministry here, and we want to keep that going. So do we want to reach people here with the hope of Jesus Christ? Yes. But also, if you're a person on planet Earth right now, we want to reach you with the message of the gospel, hope in Jesus Christ. So in light of that, we're going to be pursuing that vision with three distinguishing values. And as I was thinking about this, we are a people of hope, but we've got three distinguishing values. We're people of hope from substance of teaching to sincerity of living with simplicity of structure. So this hope, it stems from something. It comes from something. Substance of teaching, the reference there in Psalm 19, verses 7 and following. And we looked at this several weeks ago, but the law of the Lord is perfect. And you know what it does? It restores the soul. It accomplishes that. The Word of God. It also makes wise the simple. It also enlightens the eyes. It also brings joy to the heart. The Word does this. Without the substance of the Scriptures, we have nothing to stand on. And by the way, there's no restoration for the soul. Without the Scriptures, there is no wisdom. Without the Scriptures, there is no enlightenment of the eyes. And without the Scriptures, there is no joy for the heart. We need to be committed to the Word of God. The other references there are Jeremiah 23:29. God says this, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock?" That's the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The Word does this. Under each of these distinguishing values, I just placed a short statement. I'm hoping it clarifies things. And the statement under substance of teaching is this: the church is an equipping center, not an amusement park. And that might sound a bit in your face. That's okay. It's intentional. Because sadly, so much of what is happening in our day and age is that church has become nothing more than an amusement park. We want to be up. We want to be happy. We want everything to be good. And you can be this way too. And it's meaningless because it is not centered on the content of the Word of God. And so when trials come, when difficulties come, I'm sorry, but little Mickey Mouse ears and cotton candy that's pink is not going to sustain the person's soul through that. And it's a travesty. And we stand against that. Secondly, the second distinguishing value is to sincerity of living. We're people of hope from substantive teaching, but we're also people of hope to sincerity of living. We want to have a life that's committed and sincere to certain things. Things like prayer, things like fellowship, things like service. In other words, a sincere life from God evidences itself in certain ways. Too many people are out there pretending. And honestly, too many churches are out there putting pressure on people to go out there and pretend. You've got to look like you've got it all together. You've got to look like you are super Christian. We really should post a big sign on the front of the door just saying, "No perfect people allowed." Sorry, you are in the wrong place. And we've got to be able to share with each other who we really are. Ephesians 4:25 says this, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." Hebrews 3:13, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Insincerity is a form of deceit. I added some passages since I put this together because I found them and I had to. You can write them in. 1 Peter 1:22 to 23. "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God." There's a sincere love of the brethren. What does that mean? There's also an insincere love of the brethren. Acts 2:46 is another passage you can add. "And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So, sincere people, what do they look like? I don't have time to go into these passages, but you see there on your sheet, they're committed to prayer. If you're really walking with God, you really have to be with Him in prayer, or it's not real. Prayer, they're committed to praising Him with sincerity of heart. It's not this external going through the motions thing. Sincere people are sincere in fellowship. We've alluded to that already. Sincere people of faith are also people who care for others. James 1:27 is that beautiful passage where what is true and undefiled religion? Caring for widows and orphans in their distress. It's not just verbal. There's action involved. There's benevolent, caring action involved. And much of what we see, even with some of the ministries we have, is a desire to do that more. We need more participation in those ministries. What a joy it would be to see Union Rescue Mission just flooded every time we're down there, because we just need to care for these people. Or for boys camp. Of course, boys camp, there's more hoops you've got to jump through now, but Tim can tell you about those hoops, and you can still jump through them. It's okay. The summary clarifying statement is this: the church is a family, not a theater. What do I mean by that? Well, a family hopefully is a place where you can be sincere. Now, I know some of us haven't experienced that, but scripturally, that's what a family should be. And not a theater. We are not here to perform. People up here are not here to perform for people down there. People down there and up here and around are not there to perform to one another. We want to be sincere. Our last distinguishing value: we're people of hope, from substance of teaching to sincerity of living with simplicity of structure. In other words, we are going to be committed to emulating the New Testament church's pristine and simple example of ministry. Because honestly, the business climate has so affected the church in our day and age, it's ridiculous. Most churches start resembling Fortune 500 companies instead of what they are. Acts 2:42 simply states that they were committed to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. That's it. Those four pillars. And those are the four pillars that we want to be centered on. And we don't want to start emulating corporate America. Corporate America is fine for corporate America sometimes. But it's not what the church is called to be. And so because of that, the clarifying statement there is the church is a living organism, not a business. We are not going to run things simply because that's what corporate America does. I am not a CEO. I am a pastor teacher. Your elders are not a corporate board. They are a group of shepherds seeking your well-being spiritually, seeking God's glory in this church. The deacons we've been given are some of the finest men I've ever personally known. And they are not there simply to administrate funds. They are there because they are God's representative for ministries of mercy here in this church. And with that, to even clarify things further, if you turn that green sheet over, please. To maybe even further clarify the organic nature of what the church is as opposed to being a business. We see a tree. By the way, we can thank the talents of Paul Finocchio for coming up with this, the beauty of this graphic. All I did, I emailed the guy with an idea. I'm like, hey, I'm thinking a tree. I got this thing. Blah, blah, blah. You know, he comes back with that. I'm like, wow, a few revisions. But honestly, he's one talented guy. You'll note what the soil is. Soil's the word of God. You will note that there are roots going down into the word. The hope and prayer is that the roots continue to go down, continue to grow, continue to add more strength and life to the tree. And you'll note underneath the word of God, there's a parenthesis there, and it says it stands written. What I'm emphasizing are the passages in the Bible. We see Matthew 4:4 is one of them, Romans 10:15 is another, where the perfect tense is used. Often it's translated, it is written. But for example, when Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew 4, and Jesus spoke and said, it is written, he used the perfect tense in Greek. And the perfect tense is this: it's action that happened in the past with continuing ongoing results now. In other words, really he was saying to Satan, it stands written. And that's how we must root the ministry of our church, by God's grace. We root it in the word. It stands written. And that's where the roots go down. You will also notice at the top of the diagram there is prayer. What is prayer? It waters the tree. You want to grow a tree without water? What do you get? You get a dead tree. And if we as a church are not committed to praying, that is step one to being a dead church. What do? When we pray, we are calling to God and we're saying, Lord, please infuse life into this organism you have made, the church. Please empower, please grace. And so then the rain comes and waters the soil of the word. But then something else happens. The Holy Spirit takes that word and applies it to our lives, to our hearts, and to everything that we do. And that's what's represented by the arrows. You'll notice they're coming out of the soil, and they're going up and flowing through the tree into every ministry. Every ministry, from Compass to Children's to Youth to Koinonia to Music to SWAT to Women of Hope to Ambassadors to Union Rescue Mission to Team to Boys Camp, you name it, the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God and infusing it into all those efforts. So that's a picture of what we'd like to be. So grateful for our past, so grateful for our heritage, and yet longing to excel still more by the grace of God for His glory.